Okay, 2 minutes to the closing bell and helping us understand what happened today. Mike Gibbs, Raymond James Managing Director of Equity Portfolio and Technical Strategy, and our returning champion, Simeon Hyman from ProShares Global Investment Strategist. Let's start with this real quick, Simeon, and I don't know if there's a quick answer to it, but you're pointing out that with tapering at the Fed about to go into real mode, that this may be the wrong time for people worried about inflation to invest in tips. Why is that?
Tips is a funny one because I think people don't understand it. Tips do not protect you from rising interest rates at all. The tips benefit is from an increase in inflation expectations. But right now, tapering is indeed designed specifically to increase real interest rates. In other words, it's designed to help mitigate some of those inflation expectation pressures, but actually allow the interest rate on treasuries to rise to more normal levels. That's the worst combination for tips. If you need protection from rising rates, you kind of want to hedge them outright. And in this environment, particularly with a little bit of sell-off in the corporate bond market, you're frankly better off taking corporate credit risk than interest rate risk in this environment.
All right, let's hold right there. Mike, I promise we're going to hit you on the other side of the closing bell, but let's take a look at where we're setting up for the close. We've pulled back a bit off of the session highs. You can see now the Dow is up just 50 points. At one point, we were higher triple digits earlier this morning. S&P 500, it's up about 17 points. NASDAQ's going to close about 115 points. And when we look at sector action, remember that the big sector winner today, consumer discretionary after Home Depot and Walmart reported earnings. Here's the closing bell.
And that does it for today's trading action. Again, like Adam was saying, giving back some of the earlier gains that we saw in earlier trading, the Dow closing up just 57 points. Biggest outperformers in the Dow today, Home Depot reporting better than expected earnings results. That pushes stock to a new record, closing up nearly 6%. Nike, Visa, Microsoft, and Travelers. Apple, you can see on your screen, they're rounding out some of the top performers in the Dow today. Sector action-wise, consumer discretionary, technology, and healthcare leading the way. But we want to bring back in Simeon Hyman and Mike Gibbs to help us better understand what we could expect going forward. And Mike, when you take a look at today's action, closing well off the highs of the day, yesterday was a relatively quiet day for the markets when you take a look at the major averages. What do you make of this sideways pattern that we seem to be in right now? Do you expect us to stick in this pattern for a bit?
Yeah, it's normal. We rallied 10% since October 13th. That was the day that the banks kicked off earnings season. And after coming out of about a 5.8% drawdown, so we were set up for a rally. Earnings were good. We rallied 10%. We've gotten about 5% above the 50-day moving average. We got about 6% above the 50-day moving average back in April and before we went sideways for about a month. And that's probably, we're looking at some sideways grinding action. You know, you look at the sectors today and there's really no rhyme or reason other than, you know, consumer discretion, obviously, because retail sales were so strong, but not any catalyst to really move the others. So I think we're in one of those grind modes in a market that's in bullish mode. Let's just go ahead and buy into that. That's what's happening here. And we go to these sideways patterns, probably like we have now, because we get overbought, which creates a lot of opportunity at the individual stock and the sector level.
You've also, Mike, advised people to pay attention to metals and mining, perhaps breaking out finally. I mean, we had a guest on yesterday who said they were neutral on commodities, but it seems to me as if you're saying, look, we might be ready to take off again.
Well, I mean, that obviously that's a small subsector of the S&P 500. It's not a big allocation, but if you do look at it, it is gaining some technical momentum. And, you know, I do think with the world, we're more of a risk on opinion on the market now. We think GDP next year is good. You know, and I think that in that environment, you know, supply chain issues, all the different things that we're having issues with now that hopefully will thaw out a little bit. You know, some of the risk on sectors could do a little bit better. And I think, you know, miners, metals, materials, some things like that could do a little bit better in the environment, especially when you're getting a little price momentum that we're seeing here.
So, I mean, consumer discretionary, like Mike was just saying, outperforming today after we got that better than expected retail sales number. So consumers are clearly paying the higher prices. Are you worried at all that inflation will eventually stand in the way of consumers?
Well, it certainly doesn't look that way so far. I mean, first we have to think about what that transitory number means. So I think it's very unlikely that something like that 6% inflation number is going to stick around for a while. Those break-even inflation numbers, they've moved up. But at the two-year level, they're about 3.5%. And at the 10-year, they're about 2.7%. So could we have 3% inflation, which is a little north of the Fed's target? Yes, but that's probably not enough to throw consumers off the trail here. I think this is a big reminder over the last few weeks that if there's a little bit of inflation, thinking 3%, not 6, that still tells you that the best solution for inflation in your portfolio is still equities. And particularly, as you know, we're very fond of the folks that have consistently grown their dividends. And I point out that if you're trying to think of how to stay invested in technology these days, don't overlook those dividend paying stocks and dividend growers in the tech sector. It's now the number one provider of dividends. So a little bit of inflation, not enough to knock off the consumer, but enough to remind you that you want to be in an asset class that's growing its earnings, cash flow, and importantly, its dividends.
Simeon, when you bring up the dividend aristocrats, especially in the tech sector, you know, IBM, wouldn't they be one of those? Who are some of the others? And a lot of people might be a little nervous when you talk about an IBM.
So there is this great debate, of course, of what does old tech mean and what does sustainable tech mean? But of course, in those S&P technology aristocrats, you have some of the names that you would expect, like a Microsoft and an Apple. But you also have some very stable names that you might not expect, like an Accenture. So there's definitely an opportunity there. You know, taking it on the index level means that you're not going to quite try to pick the stocks here and there. But at the index level, the S&P technology dividend aristocrats are now trading at half the price to book of the S&P 500 tech sector. So a real perhaps prudent way to stay invested in technology.
Mike, how are you looking at technology? Are you seeing any areas of investment opportunity right now?
Oh, yes. I mean, technology, especially with we pulled forward, you know, digitization to, you know, light years with the pandemic. So you've got all different areas of technology that have these long structural stories, you know, whether it be the cloud, you know, and whether it be cybersecurity, whether it be other areas, semiconductors, you know, that's now an industry that looks like it's a GDP plus growth industry as opposed to just GDP. So, yeah, there's ample areas across technology that we think are just excellent investment opportunities. There's great companies to choose from. And we still like the opportunities that we're seeing to pick up stocks in the tech space.
Simeon, there was news earlier today from the port chief in Los Angeles that the bottlenecks are actually improving and that at the port of Los Angeles, the number of containers sitting on docks has declined by 29%. For an investor, is there news there that you need to pay attention to about what this might mean for companies? The concern is supply chain constraints, but isn't that a positive indicator that we're going to clear them?
I think it certainly is. And it's back to the unlikely state of play where we would have something like a 6% inflation number for very long. Could it be 3? Yeah. I mean, let's look at what we've seen over the last few days and weeks. Today, we had that high retail number. By the way, online retail was up 4%, over double retail as a whole. So back to pieces of the tech story. But you also had capacity utilization today past 70, a high reading, beating expectations substantially, as well as very high ISM services metrics, and of course, the payroll report. So some of this inflation, again, a more modest amount, is stuff that isn't related to the supply chain. But I think when we see things like the ports relaxing a little bit, it does certainly take the pressure a little bit off the really short-term high readings that we've seen.
Simeon Hyman is ProShares Global Investment Strategist, and Mike Gibbs is Raymond James Managing Director of Equity Portfolio and Technology Strategy. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us.